Amen. God bless you. Come and let God.
Why don't we put our hands together, our voices lifted up to Jesus tonight? Come on, all across this building, why don't you love on Him? Hallelujah. Come on, let Him hear your voice for a moment. God, we give you glory. We give you the highest praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Amen. I still get excited about church. Amen. How many of you are still excited about being able to walk in His presence? You get to feel the joy of the Holy Ghost. Come on, why don't you respond like you're excited about being in church tonight? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God, I give you glory. God, I magnify you tonight. Come on, He inhabits the praises of His people. Just a little bit of worship can do a whole lot, my friend. If you've had a bad day, you should go ahead and magnify Him. If you've had a good day, you should go ahead and magnify Him. If you're going through something, you should go ahead and praise Him tonight. Amen, and I'm thankful tonight to know that He is the same. No matter the situation I'm going through, we serve a great God. Amen, I feel the Holy Ghost tonight. I love what I feel, and I'm thankful tonight to be able to be in His presence. Amen, I'm always excited to be amongst friends, but I'm really excited to be in His presence. Amen. Hallelujah. How many of you have had a good day today? Hallelujah. I have, since the early hours of the morning, I have wrestled all day with what I have felt to preach this evening. And I have to say, I didn't come with a lot of enticing words. I didn't come just to preach you, just to have something to preach. I feel like I have a word for this church tonight. And I have spent time in prayer today to make sure that my emotions were out of this. And I'm going to be preaching to Tim Main tonight. Hallelujah. And I'm going to be preaching to Tim Main tonight, but you get to be in the midst of it, and I pray that tonight that it reaches far beyond just falling on good ground. I hope it's taken with the heart. Amen. I love this church. I love the leadership of this church. I love your pastor and your first lady. And folks, you should be so, if you've heard me say this once, you're going to hear me say it 1,000 times. You should be thankful for a man of God that is still willing to stand and say no. Yeah. Folks, we're losing the voice of good men. And it's happening faster than what you would ever understand. Pastor Crosswhite, I never want to get to the place where I'm too big for a no. I still need that today. We preach all over the place. But the greatest danger of the church is getting complacent and so comfortable within the church that we never heed to a warning. God, I hope I can preach what I feel tonight. As the day has went forward, it has turned into, Pastor Crosswhite, if I could say it like this, I feel like it has turned to a warning. That tonight, I'm going to deliver my heart, and I hope everybody hears my heart tonight. I want to say what an honor it is, once again, Pastor Crosswhite, to be able to fill this pulpit, and I don't take that in a light manner whatsoever. To my wife, my beautiful children, our little four-year-old Genesis, I know she's having a blast running around with the children in kids' church tonight. She was so excited to be able to go to kids' church. Amen. And I'm thankful that this is a safe place that I can trust my children with the ministry of this church. We should have had a whole lot of amens right there. Amen. We're going to go to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 10. In verse number 5, to everyone that is here this evening, I know we have many that are in children's church tonight. I give you honor. Thank you for your faithfulness to the house of God. To our guests, to whom you may be tonight, you respond to God the way you respond to God the way you know how, and God will do the rest, I promise. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, beginning at verse number 5. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, these things were our examples. Pastor Crosswhite, there are so many places in the Bible that was for my example, your example of how we should be and how we should not be. To the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be you idolaters, as some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day 320,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed by the destroyer, were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happen to them for examples, and they're written for me. They're written for Tim Main. And the word, it don't change. Upon whose ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Tonight, by the help of the Holy Ghost, I want to preach to you for just a little while. Righteous people in wrong places. Tonight, I've had you done this in time past, but I'm going to have you do it again. Why don't you place your Bibles beside you? And if there is anything knowingly in your heart tonight that could separate you and God from you receiving His word with joy, and to say, thank you, Lord, for caution. Thank you, Lord, for a warning. I wonder if you could lift your hands and begin to repent with me tonight. God, I love you so much. Come on, everybody, lift your voice. And God, tonight, before we go any further, I want to ask you to search me and know me. I want you to know my heart. I want you to know the intent of my thought. I want you to know my motives, God. I want you to know the way that I take tonight. For God, without you, I can do nothing. tonight, if anything is separating me and you, I'm sorry. Help me to open my heart, God, and receive your word with joy. God, that your word may fall on good ground. Help us tonight, Jesus. Help me to deliver this in love. Could you lift your voice for another moment? Hallelujah. God, you're sovereign. God, you're true. And God, you care about me. You care about us. Amen. And you may be seated. Sometimes we get the impression that the children of Israel was just compiled in the masses of people that were just a bunch of losers. They were too ungrateful and they were selfish in the place of deserving how good God was to them. God, how could you set aside people that didn't want you or deserved you? I believe tonight that if we could take a glimpse into the mind of the children of Israel, that some of these people were just as you and I were, whether they were no different at all. But the major place that separates us and the children of Israel and everybody in this house, you should be able to greatly rejoice over this, that they were in the dispensation of the law, and now you and I are in the dispensation of grace. Amen. Not replacing the law, but now being able to touch the throne of heaven where the veil has been rent, and now you and I both have an opportunity to go boldly before the throne of God and to make my petition known unto him, to let him know the intent of my heart, to say, God, I have failed, to say, God, this is where I am at. Because whether you want to admit it or not, the children of Israel, yes, they bickered. Yes, they murmured. But there was a time in the lives of these people, many times, where their sin was dealt with so quickly and so harshly. I'm thankful tonight that God don't cast judgment at a moment. I'm thankful tonight that we serve a merciful God. I need you to help me preach tonight, church. I think we would see a much different picture of the children of Israel if God treated us like he treated the children of Israel, where our sin was exposed automatically. And when the sin was exposed, you were dealt with automatically. There wasn't a place where he would say, hold on, I'm going to give him a second, a third, a fourth, a fifth chance. But it was an automatic deal. It was a picture of good people that faced with troubles and temptations and the driving places of fault, where they would choose to complain, they would choose to murmur, and they would choose to manipulate things. Deceitfulness to solve their problems. Rather than trusting God, they would lean toward their own understanding to help them get out of the dilemma that they was in. Because of their own personal choices. It's my example. It is your example tonight. That God has a chosen people, and on the way to prosperity and on the way to the promised land, there's so many of them that would get lost in their hearts, right, because they was tired of the provision that God gave them every morning. They got tired of waking up and going to get the provision of the manna. I'm going to provide for you. And then automatically there was a place where we desire to be back in bondage, where we can eat of the fish and the leeks and the onions. God, who's going to give us flesh to eat? Hallelujah. We'd get lost in our hearts and the minds. And it was for 40 years that they wandered away from the things of God because of their own doings. They yielded to the direction given by man, but they would never yield to the provision place where God had already set them up. I don't know about you, but I know a God that provides, and he provides very well.
Yes.
In the middle of the desert, to strike the side of a rock with a stick and water gush forward so he could quench your thirst in the middle of the desert. I don't know about you, but I don't serve a God that has ever failed me.
Oh,
I don't know about you tonight, but I have served a God that I have failed. Oh, you're not preaching with me already. It's okay. There's been times in Tim Main's life where I know where God is trying to lead me, but in my own ingenuity and in my own thinking, I miss out with God because I didn't fall back in love in that place of relationship where God was trying to pull me. I surrounded myself with people that done exactly what I wanted them to do. I hung out with people that made me feel like it was okay to do whatever felt right at a moment. But in the moments, they turn to days, and the days turn to months, and the day and the months turn to years that you run from the things of God because it's not comfortable living for God right now. We want to absorb things that feel right, even if it's not right in our... Oh, God, here we go. Even if it's against what God has convicted us of, we run from the things of God. We run from sound counsel. We run from the provision. We run from the voice of leadership.
Come on,
it's good people. It's promised people sitting under the sound of my voice tonight. It's righteous people that God has tried to change. But righteous people position themselves in wrong places when we fall out of love with the things of God. God, I'm tired of walking around this desert, so I'm going to murmur my way until we get to the next stopping point. And in that murmuring, it calls you to look aside. It calls your eyes to go astray. And you started entertaining what you said you would never entertain. In the book of Proverbs, chapter number 9, from the beginning verse until the ending verse of the chapter, it would describe two voices from two different houses, the wisdom and the foolish woman. And they would cry out to the simple. They would cry out to the simple, the wisdom, it would try to pull them from the path that they was going. And the wisdom would say, turn away, don't go down that road. Don't entertain what's fixing to knock at your door. Don't give ear to what you're about to listen to. There's no different than the simple in you and I, my friend. It's God's creation. We can become so ignorant to the spiritual realm because we are so consumed with the fleshly nature of man. My friend, I'm sorry, but the flesh will never be able to discern the spiritual. But your prevailing trait of living for God, it should be in a place of discernment. It should be in a place of prayer. It should be in a place of consecration. And if the prevailing trait of your life and in your relationship with God is anything beyond anything that forwards you in the kingdom, you're entertaining something that is not of God. It's It's the creation of God where you and I, we don't have the ability to make it on our own. But I am so thankful for the baptism of the Holy Ghost where you and I, we may be endued with own power from upon high, that we have the power to become the sons of God. And if we're the sons of God, then we are heirs unto the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. But it's the eternal reward of the voice of wisdom, or it is the eternal consequence of the voice of the foolish. Yeah. Hallelujah. It matters what you entertain. It matters who you fool around with. You can read it for yourself, the differences between the two in the book of Proverbs chapter number 9. And it's a pulling of the heart. It's a pulling of desire. And it, first and foremost, if you give your heart to something, that is what you're going to become. I want to be a woman of God. I want to be a man of God. My friend, it's righteous people in wrong places. It's stopping at the door and knocking on the door of the foolish just so we can feed our appetite for another moment. We ignore the voice of wisdom. We don't stop by the house of wisdom. We go beyond it. We pass by. We intentionally circumvent so we don't have to walk by the house of wisdom. Because the house of wisdom is going to throw warnings, warning, warning.
Right.
Until we get so tired of hearing the voice of warning, because we've already given to our own intellect. We've already gave in to where my heart is now so deceitful that now I trust in my own ways. The voice of wisdom can no longer speak out and save you. Because now it's the entertaining of the foolish house. You'll find wisdom. Or if you want to look at it this way, you'll find the house of wisdom or the kingdom of God. Watch. It offers information of knowledge, direction, rest, understanding. And more than anything, a clear purpose for the kingdom. There's nothing complicated about it. Elder Cross White, nothing complicated about the voice of wisdom, because it is pushing the kingdom forward and it is literally causing your desires to die. But it's righteous people in wrong places where, watch the foolish woman, watch what she offers. She offers a fulfillment of your heart. She offers the fulfillment of your flesh rather than leaning toward God. The foolish woman is self-seeking. What can I get by with until I am found out? God help me tonight. Her knowledge comes. It comes so quickly and so easily. But it's only surface level. And that surface place, it's all adults in here, so I'm going to preach tonight, okay? Amen? Elder, if I say anything out of line, you publicly tell me, please. But I'm going to preach my heart right now, y'all. I hope this is okay tonight. It's surface level stuff. It never gets into the depths of the heart because she seduces her victims and draws them in so tight in the place of loneliness and in the place of misunderstanding, while there is murmuring and why there is fault finding against yourself. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. You will never find God tearing you down. I wish I had more than two amens. I wish I had somebody to help me tonight. She draws them in at their weakest moments, Elder Becky. And at that time, it's what is harmless and what is seemingly okay to deal with that entraps you to the point where you cannot escape the web of sin. Watch, this is in your Bible, to only find themselves deceived and trapped in the belly of hell. Stolen waters are sweet. Bread eaten of secret is pleasant. But they don't know that the depths of her is in hell. I want to do this because it feels good and it pleases my flesh. I want to do this because it's satisfying for a temporal moment. You need to look at the seventh chapter of Proverbs. It would adequately begin to describe the ways that we walk and the way we give into. And it gives every one of us, young ladies, young men, it gives us a very harsh warning. Look how she begins to seduce the simple. Your actions mean everything, because your actions will cause you to go astray.
That's right, brother. Amen.
And your actions of who you absorb will try to convince you it don't take all of this to live this way. If you ever hang out with anybody, if you ever start entertaining somebody, and I'm going to say this as bold and as plain as I can, that starts trying to convince you against your pastor, and you don't stand firm on what you've been taught, what you know is right, shame on you. And I'm not mincing words tonight. We're all adults. But there should be an anchoring place of the voice of the watchman on the wall, that when he starts pulling, that when his voice starts calling, that there is something that rises up in you so strong that you say, that's the voice of the man of God that's calling out in the wilderness. Because you have found a place where we fulfill the lust of the flesh. But I'm thankful for voices that still tell us no. It's my fault and it's your fault time after time. Not so much that we have just deliberately ran to a place of sin, but behind the curtain of what we fool with. It's what is exposed on the outside. Sweetheart, you can look as good as you want to look on the outside, but I promise what you're fooling with on the inside, it's going to end up showing on the outside. And it starts little bit by little bit by little bit by little bit until no longer you can constrain the desire. You can't constrain what you are giving into. It's pulling you way faster than what we can even reach out and grab you, because you started entertaining what you said you'd never entertain, because God tried to deliver you, God tried to pull you out, and you even testified about how God changed your life. And now as a dog returns to its vomit, you're running as fast as you can back to the satisfactory place of sin.
Come on, preach.
But my friend and hon, sir, you better hear me. If you believe in heaven, you better believe in hell. Because in heaven, there's not going to be any unclean thing. In heaven, there is going to be a pure place. In heaven, you can dance with the world and dance with God at the same time. In hell, it's going to be an unending gnashing of teeth. It's going to be the giving in of desires.
Yes.
It's going to be the fulfilling of the lust.
Yes,
until there is never a satisfaction. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. Our destination should be every road that points us to heaven. Even when I am not doing right, I should never isolate myself from the men of God in my life. I should never, ladies, isolate my, I'm preaching to this church tonight, and I hope you hear in my heart that you never should isolate yourself from the voice of the woman of God in your life. Because that is the saving place for every one of us. God didn't just put a man here just to collect a paycheck. God put a man here to save your soul. Let me ask you, and I want you to be honest with Brother Maine tonight, because I feel at home right now. How many of you have ever got to the place where you got disgruntled with your man of God? Some of y'all lying already. We better have a good altar call in a minute. I said this the other night when I was preaching when you was there. There was times I got disgruntled with Brother McLean, but it drove me to a place of self-searching to allow me and Molly to look out and say, my God, what do you see that I can't see? What are we playing around with? That is not going to lead us to a place of heaven. But we begin to entertain what is not of God. You better watch who you fellowship. You better watch who you listen to. You better get off that stinking social media. Hey, I want you to hear me tonight, because there is a place of secrecy that will cause you to miss God. It's harmless. It's harmless. But it's righteous people in wrong places. You should never slide in the DM of a married woman. You should never slide in the DM of a married man. You should never start conversing with anybody that is not cohesive to your walk with God. Oh, God, have mercy. I don't want to get off in any pastoral areas. And if you've heard me say this once, you'll hear me say it 1,000 more times. If your pastor preaches something different, you listen to that man of God. Amen. I need everybody to say amen. It's that same provision that God would put there. Oh, hallelujah. He'd put a cloud in the day and he'll put a fire at night. So you tell me why God isn't still the same good God that he was when he first drew you into the church, when he first drew you into that place of correction and understanding that you are mine and I am yours. And as long as we're walking together, I'm going to develop you to be what I called you to be. But that moment you start working on your own ingenuity, that is when I start pulling away. Yes. God have mercy. When you are so deceitful that you feel like you have fooled everybody around you. Somebody better hear me in the Holy Ghost right now. When you are so deceitful that you feel like you have fooled everybody, you better take heed. And you better bring yourself back to a place of repentance to say, God, I have started slipping in areas that you tried to deliver me from. Because the moment you feel like you got a foothold on that place of deceit, that's the moment God's going to expose you. Amen. That's the moment where you have a decision to make that will be an eternal decision. You're either going to run back to God or you're going to fall in love with the things that has pleased your flesh for so long. And it's a righteous people in wrong places. You meant well. It was not supposed to be like this. You never meant to go as far as you went. Well, tonight, my friend, I have good news. You're sitting in this building and there's mercy that's still extended. I don't know about you, but Tim Maine's thankful for it. Because Tim Maine's preaching to Tim Maine tonight. And if it's falling hard on your heart, then I guess I'm preaching to you too. Look, I'm gonna say this, okay? I told myself I wasn't going to get out and walk around tonight because I'm already out of breath. But watch, I'm going to tell y'all something so scary right now, okay? Tell me your name again, sis. Riley, watch. Soldiers would knowingly dig trenches so their enemies would fall in them and become trapped. Woo! But you know the scary part about that? Is when the soldiers that dug them graves and dug them trenches lost their own way and they fell into what was supposed to be their enemies. and we are guilty. That was meant to entrap the enemy. I was never supposed to struggle like this. Well, here we are. Here we are. Playing with things that you know that have God showed up in front of you. Would you be pleased or would you be found guilty? Deceit. Always, I need everybody to hear me. I don't care how young or how old you are. Deceit will always show up. Always. And it's at that very place of deceit where it catches up with you because you're running faster than what you feel like God can catch you. That's the problem with lying. You tell one lie, you're going to have to tell another lie and another lie. Da, 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 da. And a snow piles, it turns into this great big snowball that's uncontrollable. And that snowball, it's the effect of the last snowflake. It's the effect of the last sin. It's the effect of the last text message. The last fooling around. It's the last snowflake that falls on that snowball that creates an avalanche. Have you ever done something wrong and judgment wasn't cast on you? I have. Let me talk to y'all. I know it's Thursday night. I know I'm running out of time. But is it Rebecca? Rachel. Okay, Rachel. Rachel, you ever done anything wrong? Cool, me too. What about the last snowflake that's about to cause an avalanche in life? We never think about the last snowflake that's fixing to fall. Because we think that we serve a God that is so abundant in mercy that he's going to tolerate our wrongdoings. I need y'all to preach with me tonight. I know I'm not preaching the way that it feels good to preach because it don't feel good for Tim Main to hear some of this stuff. The book of Proverbs, this is for everybody. Listen. Bread of deceit is sweet to a man, but afterwards, his mouth shall be filled with gravel. David was a righteous man, but David was in the wrong place.
Yes, sir.
That's why some people get so aggravated about getting involved in the church. If David would have been at battle with this man, he would have never been fooling around on a balcony looking at a sinner woman.
Right.
And then something developed in his heart that was so big.
That's right.
That it grew into a monster. And it was the sin of lust and it was the sin of deceit. And here's the other side of the story. It wasn't Bathsheba's fault. Bathsheba was told her husband was dead. Bathsheba wanted the comfort of the king. You better be careful who's going to comfort you in the time of loneliness.
There you go, brother.
You better be careful what you do in the dark because my friend God's fixing to expose it. I'm telling you, Brother Main, come tonight. And I'm not just a one-hitter quitter preacher. I believe in preaching mercy. I believe in preaching grace. But tonight I've come to deliver a word of warning to people. That what you're fooling around with, you may have your man of God fooled. You may have your woman of God fooled. But you ain't fooling God.
Hear it?
You can run. You can isolate yourself. But you will never outrun God. You can't run fast enough. It's a road of impurity. If there was ever a time, Elder Cross White, that I could gather together good young apostolic people and preach as hard as I could preach about don't go down the road Tim Main went down. Let me save you heartache. Let me save you a lot of tears. And let me save possibly your walk with God. It's the road of impurity. I'm going to say this, we're all adults. Impurity is not just sexual sin.
That's right.
Impurity is when you start allowing the thoughts to override your walk with God.
Yes, sir.
Whether it's the thought of contentment or it's the thought of just being complacent. So your walk with God becomes nothing more than just a pedestal of a paperweight. I'm wearing my skirt today, so that makes me okay with Jesus. No, it don't.
Come on.
I'm clean cut. That means I'm okay with Jesus. There's going to be a lot of people that profess holiness and go to hell.
You're right.
Because it's the road of impurity. And we just base impurity off of the feeding of the flesh. My friend, it's the development of what is in your heart that is so secret that you'd be ashamed if somebody found out about it. I'm talking to married people. I'm talking to young people. And I'm talking to old people tonight. My friend, if there was ever a time where we needed a baptism of the fear of God, it is right now. We need to be so fearful of the things of God that we don't just walk in the house of God nonchalantly. Well, it's Thursday night. Here we go again. We're going to hear preaching on holiness. We're going to hear this and that. Well, praise God that you're going to hear it again. We need a baptism of excitement about the things of God. God, you're tugging on me, and I am thankful that you are giving me a place of mercy. You're not hearing it tonight. See, what I'm preaching, some of you ain't even hearing it because you are so content with where you're living that your countenance has fallen.
Come on.
And when your countenance, elder, has fallen, The Bible describes you as a fool.
Yeah.
It would point the finger. Thou art the man. I hope you hear Brother Maiden's heart tonight, because I'm reaching for somebody that you've made up in your mind the decisions that you're going to make. But I'm trying to persuade you to quit doing that mess. I'm trying to persuade somebody tonight to get back on fire with God. The way you get back on fire with God, and I already forgot your name again. I'm sorry, Rachel. Is that right, Rachel or Hannah? Rachel. The way we get back on fire with God, Brother Thomas, is we run to the altar out of our own will.
Yes, go ahead.
And we say, it's not by might. It's not by power. God, I can't make it on my own ingenuity. God, I can't make it on my own wisdom. God, I can't make it on my own agenda. But tonight, God, I need there to be an anointing of the Holy Ghost in my life again.
Jesus.
Search me and know me.
Yes.
Create in me a clean heart.
Holy God.
Renew in me right. Renew in me a right spirit. God, I hope you don't hear me being mean tonight. That was never my intent this evening. Discouragement will cause you to miss God. And the discouragement from the place of failure, it's righteous people in wrong places. It's falling one more time. And the discouragement of failure, causes us to miss the opportunity that God had. When I remember these things, hear me right now, church, please. If you're playing around on your phone or anything else, please listen to Brother Maine right now. I'm reaching for somebody. When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God. with of joy, with the voice of joy and praise. I went with him. I knew what it was like to worship you, God. Oh, God. With a multitude that kept the holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Hallelujah. Mirakash alabos. Hi. Jesus. God, if you tell me who it's about. Sin will take you so far that when you look in the mirror, there's not that reflection of the beauty of holiness. It's the heaviness, the discouragement. And what you see looking back in the mirror. What you see looking back in the mirror is not what you seen a year ago. I've come to ask this church, what happened to the fire? What happened to the zeal? We were righteous people in wrong places. Would you stand with me? Oh, Jesus. It's righteous people in wrong relationships around 4:30 this morning. I woke up and I've been troubled all day. Brother Purtle. But if the small things causes us to miss heaven? But we're reserving the small things. Folks. Old folk. Young folk. Single folk. Married folk. I think it's time that we all move tonight. That. Please hear me tonight. We're in the right place right now for God to give me another chance. I wonder tonight if you could honestly come to the altar and honestly search your heart and say, God, cause me to hear thy loving kindness. Cause me to get back to the place of righteousness. God, I have fooled around too much.